Public comments. I don't see Val on.
Maybe she thought you were done.
I'm sorry, the volume's too loud. I listen, so I make sure that the voices are actually, yeah, it's a long thing. Okay. So we don't have any public comments. I do have a teacher comment. We'll get into it towards the end.
Was it?
Yes, it was.
Teacher asked to be read at the board meeting?
No teacher asked for it to be read at the board meeting.
Then why do you have to read this?
I just brought it along so we can talk about it later. We'll get to that. Approval of previous minutes. We just sent out the minutes from the last meeting in a ridiculously prompt fashion. I think she had one correction for attendance. Val, thanks for being here. Any other corrections or changes? Love a motion to accept the minutes.
Yeah, I do.
Thank you, Costas. Second?
Second.
Outstanding. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yes.
I mean, like, there's only up to February. I was just saying, can we get any of the recent ones added online?
It should be on there.
They should, yeah.
What if it only has till February?
We're looking at the web mistress.
I put them all up there.
Okay.
As of this morning, I didn't see it, but it's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I tried to check before I did that as well, but maybe I missed it.
Yeah, we can put it afterwards.
Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's part of the public requirement that they be posted.
I figured it.
We've been trying really hard to stay on top of it.
So Bridget cranks them out. We post a draft. We have had issues with the audio recordings for the last two meetings. We're hoping this one's going okay.
It is recording and we are not muted.
And for reasons, and for reasons I do not understand, I got an AI transcription of a recording with no audio.
Interesting.
So
Lip reading, maybe.
It's not us, it's them. All right.
Thank you.
So Minister Dunn, so we're going to jump right to the finance report because I know you've got to take off. So we're going to let you jump to the finance report.
Yeah, it's easier when I check the recording later.
Yeah, sorry.
Please.
Sorry, we don't have seating chair.
Hi.
Hello.
Thing of my life.
All right, let me see if I can share.
Numbers, numerous. Okay, that's me.
And while you're bringing that up, so the finance committee met last week. We'll just jump to the finance committee meeting. And we took a different look at the numbers and asked Deb to go back and put in the actual numbers now that we have most of the actual numbers rather than the budgetary numbers. So we can really kind of see where we actually are rather than where we budgetarily are in an effort to hopefully get a better grasp on exactly where we're going to close out the year versus where we are. I think Jeff historically did it with mostly budgetary numbers through the end until we finally did the reconcile and then the audit. Deb's going to take personal ownership of the numbers and really start grinding that out a little sooner so that there aren't any surprises. So if there are any surprises, go ahead.
Well, thank you. So yes, I have taken a deep dive in looking into our actuals rather than from the preliminary budget of what we were expecting to receive. So I've made adjustments to our revenue and then was just moving some codings around just to make sure that we're getting everything correct and make sure that we're aligned where everything should be. Because I started looking at the preliminary budget for next year. So before I dug too much more into that, I wanted to make sure that I was cleaning up what we had so that we're starting fresh with a clean slate. All right, so for revenues, the final budgeted revenues were $60,092,020. And we collected, and that's based on our actuals. That's what we actually were supposed to have received based off of some carryover. So we've actually gotten to date 61,890,907, which is 102.99, almost 103% of the budget. So we still came out ahead from where we were expecting that we would come. In this month, we received 131,000 for cafeteria, 384 in catering, 1,700 in athletics, a little over almost 19,000 for transportation, 33,000 for ABC Kids rental, $24,000 in Owl's Club. Grail rental was $2,200, $33,500 in local funding. We received $5,600 in donations, $53,000 for school activities, which for this month was a total of just under $304,000. So our final budgeted expenditures, we were anticipating $51,933,000. To date, we've spent $53,625,932. We still have an encumbrance of about $31,000 out there that we are working on clearing for the end of the fiscal year. So that'll all be out of there, which represents 103% of the total budget.
The end of the fiscal year is September or now?
It'll be 6:30. So we're working right now.
So that's June. Okay. It's not like the federal government, which is September.
No.
No, it's just 6:30.
School year.
Yeah. 6:30.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, so the last little bit, we'll see these numbers will change a little bit with June numbers. So we do have still two more payrolls to go, which is about 1.3, 1.5 per payroll. So we're looking at about $3 million for that. And then whatever expenditures we have in the month for utilities and.
Are we expected to hit our revenue forecast by the end of the year or surpass it by what we're short on any given month?
We still beat the revenue, even when I adjusted how much we actually had for carryover. We should have gotten 60 million and we received 61.8. Mm-hmm. So we did get more than we were anticipating based on like the projections and the revenue. So we still did better than what we were anticipating. I think it was just more of that expenditure piece and just hitting our payroll now at this point.
Okay.
And on that revenue, you're always very conservative on the local funds because they vary wildly throughout the year as to what they'll give us, what they say they'll give us.
Yes.
Versus what they actually give us.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's also based on the expenditures by the districts. So it's based on their local expenditure that they have is how they figured out. And so it was a little weird there during COVID because there was COVID money that they were using instead of their actual local funds in the districts. So that kind of hit a little bit too, as far as how much our revenue we received for local.
It didn't have to do with enrollment in any way.
That local was no.
Okay.
Because we still hit our targets. We did good with enrollment.
So I heard about 2,500, something like this. The students, 2,400. About that.
Yeah.
Shall we get the final in July, later on, or just?
Yeah, so we have everything that we were to get. Is everything in?
Okay,
the other revenue that we will receive for June would be any other like Owl's Club, rentals for the Grail, for the field, the St. Thomas money that we receive, food service money. These kids still have some food service things that they were finishing out in order to walk and graduate. They had to pay all their fees. So towards the beginning of June, we're going to have a little bit more revenue coming in as parents were paying their fees so they could walk.
Graduate.
Graduate and have people there to see them because I think that's more of what it was. I think it was had to be satisfied. So we'll have a little bit more revenue of that coming in, but otherwise, for the most part, our revenues are pretty much leveled out.
Good.
And then the expenses have us with a surplus, but that will diminish as you you pull out the payroll, and then the rest of the expenses will probably, you're expecting things to come out even?
Pretty close to it, I think.
And if we're a little under, we can use next year's money.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty close once payroll is complete. And then once we hit our last little bit of expenditures, I think it's going to be very close.
Okay. Which is a good warning for next year as we, not just budget, but as we spend, particularly things that aren't budgeted, to make sure that we do that prudently.
Correct.
So that we can't run a deficit because we don't have anybody to borrow money from.
Yeah.
Except our donors, and they don't want to hear, hey, can we have a donation so we can make payroll? Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we're going to be okay moving into this year because once the second floor of Building 27 is complete, most of our large expenses, like for that piece, is going to, we're not going to have that, right? So those capital projects.
So that's the most expensive part, just the 27.
Yeah, that's going to be done, but we will have some roof and some HVAC things that we need to address. I know Evan is working on some grants where we can get some money based on our expenditures for energy and electric through, I don't think it's Del Marva, but it was somebody else. So hopefully that can help offset some of our energy costs that we have and maybe cover some of those expenses for like the boilers and things like that.
And we're meeting all our loan obligations on time and everything they look for.
And we had a call with the bondholders last week, sadly, I missed it, but that went well.
Yes.
Ducking the general numbers, so they're so confident in us.
Good.
Which is good, because they, you know.
Very good.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
Yes. So, you know, from the outside world, everybody's happy, we just need to make sure we tighten the belt and make sure we're spending smart.
Yeah.
Smartly.
Smartly.
All right, so I need a motion to accept the web report as presented.
I motion to accept the web report.
Thank you, Georgia, can I have a second?
I second.
Thank you, Costas. Any discussion? Hearing none, call for a vote, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nope.
Motion passed, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in, I appreciate you squeezing in first. All right, we're ready for the head of school report. Elias, thanks for dialing in.
I'm actually going to jump in and do it.
By all means.
Come to the hot seat. Hi, everybody, happy.
This is a hot seat, we come here then.
It's a cool seat, actually, I don't mind it. As we close out the 2025-2026 school year, we are very excited to share our strong progress across academics, operations, facilities, enrollment, and student support services. So I'm going to summarize our report and keep it nice and sweet for all of us tonight. Under facilities, one of our most significant accomplishments this month is the completion of Building 27 second floor renovation. So the project successfully passed inspection, occupancy approval was received, and teachers have already moved into their spaces. Nice. So we are, so look at the Iwana's face.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. playground improvements are underway as well, and we're continuing to install branding over the course of the summer months.
And somebody asked me about the playground improvements done behind Building 27 with all the fill and all that. That is all soil saved from the field project, so it's our dirt. It's not, you know, asbestos and crap mixed in. So it's all genuine clean fill. And a huge savings because it's our own soil.
Amazing. Do we have a timeline on that, on when that'll be done?
We expect it done by July. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
So yes. Before then, August. Okay, that's good.
Absolutely.
Both spaces or just the one space?
The new one. So the new space will be finalized in July. And then the update will come after. Because
okay.
We physically have a space already, so we're going to do the one outside and then internally to update what's in.
Yeah, but wasn't it like two parts?
Yes.
So both parts are affected by the end of July.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question about the new emergency school since we're talking about?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes, no, you're okay.
since there's going to be a lot more students going that way, is there a plan for car line? And
yes, okay. So that is definitely being evaluated, and we are determining what how that shift is going to look.
Okay.
And you know, we will all work through it together.
Okay.
We might need to try a couple different ways before
okay.
we find success.
Right.
But it's definitely in the ethos
okay.
and on the table for conversation.
Great, thank you.
Yes.
Additional question about facilities. One of the nurses brought up the elevator again.
Yeah.
Are we thinking of doing an elevator there? Adding
yeah,
elevator?
So it's actually already grant funded and approved. We just needed to not delay the building completion. So it wasn't a part of phase one, but now, or two. So now it's phase three of the project. And we can get rolling.
It's going to be in 27 or 26?
It'll be in 27, most likely. We're doing the architectural designing right now,
mm-hmm.
but that way it can be accessible by both sides.
So we are at the stage of embellishment now.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
And that'll take forever, right? Like the last
one? No, absolutely not. We have learned, we are growing, and know the right way to do it. Third time's the charm.
Okay.
These expansions obviously support our continued growth and commitment to making sure that students are successful both in and out of the classroom. In terms of student achievement and other school successes across all grade levels, students finished the year with many notable accomplishments. At the elementary level, our DIBELS literacy results were described as outstanding, and schools celebrated successful PBIS events, which is just positive behaviors, and all instructional positions are continuing to be staffed for next school year. At the middle school level, we celebrated 231 eighth grade graduates, so we are excited to promote all of them to high school. And with the middle school, student behavior data shows significant improvement, with suspensions down 33% and referrals down 27% comparatively to the end of school year last year. High school celebrated another major milestone with yet another 100% graduation rate for the class of 2026, and that's marking the seventh graduating class to achieve this distinction. That's something that we are very proud of and notable. Additionally, Odyssey has its first HOSA student qualify for a national competition and representing the school on that national stage.
National competition of what?
Correct. So HOSA is one of our CTE clubs, and what they do, it's Health Occupation Students of America. I believe they're in Georgia, if I'm not mistaken, and they're currently competing at a national level representing the school.
Competing on what?
Health occupations.
I don't know what the
sports, whatever.
Oh, no, they're under their club. So
under the club, okay.
Correct.
Okay, yes. That's fine.
What that looks like,
I don't want to say it's all Greek to me, but maybe sometime. Although in Greek we say it's all Chinese to me. Okay.
When we are talking about curriculum and instruction, we are actively in the planning stages and phases of the 2026-2027 school year. Professional development will specifically focus on science of reading across all content areas, and new math and biology curricula are going to be piloted. Instructional resources are being aligned per our charter renewal commitments. And our spring assessment data is coming out, being analyzed, and making sure that we are using that data to drive instructional practices and decision-making for the next school year. Under climate, culture, and student support, the school continues to expand mental health and community partnerships to increase support for students and families. Work is underway on a comprehensive climate and culture survey that has gone out to all staff, so we can use, again, really data-informed decision-making in improving all areas across all buildings. Special education is demonstrating growth through its partnership with the University of Delaware. We have done internal audits to show improvement in student data use, progress monitoring, and the IEP quality. Planning for next school year includes staff training, transition support, and expanded summer programming for our eligible students. On the operational side, transportation is actively hiring drivers and optimizing routes to ensure efficient services for next year. Technology upgrades are continuing, predominantly focusing on Building 27, getting that last floor up and running, so that way our internet infrastructure will be complete for all of our students that will be in Building 27. New Chromebook purchases have been approved, and our facilities team is working very hard to make sure all the moves are happening before teachers leave, and major maintenance projects and summer improvements across the campus as a whole. From the enrollment side, we continue to have strong enrollment with acceptance rates higher than this time last year, so we are excited about that. The school received funding through the Laffey McHugh grant that we submitted, and we have submitted additional grant applications that we are waiting to hear back from, one inclusive of the Early Literacy Initiative. Website enhancements are almost done, and so we will hopefully be able to launch our new website within this coming month. And athletics will continue to expand brand and have sponsorship opportunities.
Go ahead. Should we interrupt you or wait until the end?
You are fine. I'm almost done.
Can you talk to us a little bit more about enrollment? Like, where did we have largest numbers? Where did we lose the most students?
Yeah, what was our attrition rate?
Yes. I can absolutely say that. Let me pull up the right document.
It is.
At large, where we see the most attrition is between fifth and sixth grade, as well as eighth and ninth grade. That continues.
Fifth and sixth, yeah, at the middle school.
Correct. So the transition from elementary to middle, and then the transition from middle to high. What we are doing is using data again to make sure that we are deciding and using that to inform us with best practices throughout the school year. So we've done that in a couple of different levels. The step-up days have, gosh, it's probably been 3 or 4 years now that we've been doing it, continue to be a huge selling point for our students. This year, we added an extra layer, and we have been able to pull in families and have open conversations with families to make sure that they understand what opportunities are available both at the middle school and then the high school level respectively.
And I know that the OHA was supposed to be one of the things that you implemented to, you know, help retain students.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if I know that this year we lost 22 of the 26 kids or something like that that were in OHA. So I was just curious, is that program working the way we want it to?
I mean, every.
Been evaluated or reevaluated or?
So we are continuing to make program enhancements and opportunities as it's almost its own marketing, right? Because we want to provide students with the best opportunity and show them from an eighth grade year what they're getting in high school. That is something that is, again, goes through our program reviews every year to make sure that we get feedback from the students, we get feedback from the families as to what's working, what's not working, what's keeping them, what's, you know, a reason for an exit. And using that to inform our decision making.
So the students that leave, you get feedback from them, you give them surveys about why they've left?
We definitely have conversations, maybe more anecdotal than survey driven. But that would be something we can continue to work through.
How was the attrition rates between fifth and sixth and then between eighth and ninth? What percentage did we lose? And how did that percentage compare to the attrition rate of prior year?
Yeah, so currently between fifth and sixth grade, what did I say? It was like between 50 and 60%, which is the highest we've been able to retain. But this is today. So comparatively, last year, that attrition number was at 30-something percent.
So we lost 50 to 60%?
So no, we retained 60%. And then last year we retained only 30%.
So, okay, so the attrition rate decreased.
I'm sorry, from eighth to ninth grade.
Okay.
So retaining at the middle school level into high school level, because that is the largest attrition rate we see, is students leaving middle school.
Last year we lost 70, this year we lost 55-ish.
Correct, is where we're at, yeah.
Okay.
What is the usual, just let's say, doubt or just a question, why they want to go to another high school, whatever? Just
yeah, there's a myriad of reasons for sure. I grew up in Vermont, and so in Vermont there is one public school for six towns. Delaware is so privileged in the sense of having a plethora of options and deeply rooted community. So a lot of them are, oh, well, my dad went to Sally's, or.
So it's personal sometimes.
Correct, absolutely. There's some definitely personal and historical support to that. Other times we hear that it's sports. That has definitely become less because of our expansive program that we continue to do and we continue to get noteworthy accomplishments for. But again, using that information to how can we improve, how can we retain, what can we do differently to continue to pull our students and stay at Odyssey.
There is also, if I can add something to what you said, I think that we have many students K to 8 here, and that's what they usually say, that they need to try something new. So they don't want to be K to 12 in the same school, they want to try a new community, new district. So it's curiosity, also it's they're tired in the same school all these years, they to try a new friend, you know. It's the age also of teenagers who want to try something new. So that's, I would say, number one that we hear from our students who live on.
We really need to, I think, sorry, we really need to have more specific research. So of the 35 students, let's say, who left, or 40, or however many that was, we need to know what was the number one reason, at what percent, number two reason, number three reason, because then we can get a grip. Otherwise, it's just what everybody thinks.
It's vague.
Yeah.
Sure, too, that the OHA kids were not given a, like, a survey about why they left. And if that is the point of the program, is retention, we need to have follow-up with it about why it isn't working, why we're not retaining these kids, because I'm pretty sure that was the whole purpose of implementing that program.
Right.
Maybe some follow-up with that would be good.
Great.
While you cannot, let's say, say, okay, because of my family, just what their friends, if it's something associated with the education of the program, that would be interesting. The other, we cannot resolve it because I live, because my friends or my father or whatever else, that's different. But if it's something educational about something I don't think I'm getting or just whatever else, that would be nice, just if we have some knowledge.
I will add too, often we will also receive 10th grade applications from 8th grade Odyssey students. Correct, trying it out and said, you know what? This is home, this was, yes. And we are very happy to accept them.
What happens in that situation?
We gladly accept them, assuming, you know, their number is pulled appropriately in the lottery. And we have them here and we welcome them back. What's a great positive is they've had all of the brief experience up to that, so they can seamlessly reintegrate back into the school setting.
Now, from 5th to 6th.
About the OHA mentioned, we, one of the reasons why we created the program was to keep our students here. But for the student perspective, many accepted the invitation to OHA because they wanted this strong data so they can enter into other high schools. So I use OHA as a vehicle to go to Wellington Charter.
Yeah, I think it's important that we have more documented feedback from both the parents of the students that left and from the students themselves. And I think it's best if it's a third party who does the follow-up with them to get feedback for the school, for positive, you know, information and improvement. I think it's important to really capture what the, you know, what those reasons are. Third party, that's my main point, from both the parents and the students.
I can say that I've been getting data in. We've had 11 of our 27 students are from our OHA program this year are retained, being retained and continuing to stay at Odyssey for high school, which is our largest cohort of students from the program.
Also, our students can be able to document all these and say why and all this, how, why, through the panorama survey. So we are getting the data for this year now, with the survey that's out there this week or last week.
This week.
That's in-house.
Yeah.
That's a third party.
Yeah.
It's in-house.
It's in-house.
How about from 5th to 6th? How does the attrition?
Yeah, so our attrition numbers from 5th to 6th grade are, we retain 82%, so losing 18% between.
Is that larger than last year?
Yes.
And disproportionately the honor student?
I haven't disaggregated it by honors.
No, from the ones I had.
Gotcha.
And meaning, and for them, mostly it's academics. And I know we're structuring the honors program and all that in the intermediate school, so maybe we can address that.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was great improvement over last year. That's positive. I don't want to sound, you know, congratulations for that huge improvement. I think you reduced the attrition by 1/3.
Correct.
Over last year. What I'm thinking of is the lost revenue. You know, how do we capture more of that lost revenue when students leave the school at that point? So, you know, my mind is, let's find out why, make sure it's why, and then capture that revenue back for the school. So that's why, that's my perspective.
I will say, as a parent of a fourth grader, I know fifth grade is when, like, you guys start doing like honors programs, but it's not super clear to the parents what the plan is or where the kids being placed. Like last year, or you know, it's not super clear to the parents what the plan is.
Okay, so that's good to note, and then we can make sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. Have parent sessions in the meeting.
That we had a similar experience with our sixth grader going into 7th. There seemed to be a disconnect on what the requirements were and if the class that they're moving into is in fact still an honors class. So we had to have a lot of back and forths to try and figure out what was going on. So just wherever there's a possibility for increased clarity for the parents,
that's
is going to go a long way.
And another thing that I noticed with the parents of my students was that these people need to know in January if their kid is going to be in honors for sixth grade. Because that's when they are planning, they're making decisions, applications and all that stuff. And until last year, we kind of waited until June, I think, until the SBAC.
In last year, this year, that's why we had the meeting.
This year, we.
So we invited the parents.
We did it a lot.
Meetings with them, very open discussions, they expressed in real time their concerns, their questions, and they were addressed right away. And which I think were part of their reaction that we see now is because of these meetings. So parents had answers to their questions about the honors, they received letters and currently graded. Rise sixth graders, they receive the letters if they're going to go to honors or not. So we are making this movement, but of course we have to move more and more.
And I just want to echo and lift the fact that we continue to enroll more students each and every year. So we've continually beat our enrollment targets. Last year we beat our enrollment target. We're on track and on target to beat it again for this year. And we kind of maxing out capacity of space to fill. So it's a good position to be in to be able to have that wait list that we do have and being able to have so many families interested in Odyssey and knowing that, you know, it, yes, students come with revenue, but that's not why they're here. They're here to get an education. They're here to get the experience that you wouldn't be able to see anywhere else.
Do we know what grade we are adding the most students this year?
The most students will be in sixth grade this year. Yeah.
So you have the numbers of how many invitations were accepted?
I need to disaggregate real on the spot.
Sorry.
I can definitely
get it to us
that
later.
For you.
Get some other
the numbers. Number that have accepted as of today. New students is 597 across K-12.
Do you know how many seats there are to fill?
So we are continuing to be able to try and hit our enrollment target of 2,500 is what we're striving for this year.
Okay.
Currently, we're at 2,492.
Okay.
There is definitely movement that occurs over the summer, so it's this is not a final target by any means, but we, like I said, are very well positioned to continue to beat our enrollment target again.
And because of the stupid rule change, they can change their mind up until the end of September.
Yes, so good cause, now includes the clause where if a different school offers you acceptance off of their wait list, that then allows somebody to withdraw a first year commitment.
Question. Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
Can we opt out of that?
No.
So the September 30th counter?
They have to opt out of that.
Sorry, that's
yeah. That's a Delaware thing.
Question I have.
We're not happy.
We have to attrition to other schools. And some from other schools, do they come to Odyssey? Yes,
so, absolutely, right? So
it's a moment. Have any sense if this is balances out or just we lose more than we gain? That's what I want to see, that if we get more than we.
Well, ultimately, yes, because we've been able to increase enrollment every year.
Okay, that's fine.
Yes.
As long as from the other schools,
yes.
Not just for the first time in our school. Yeah, that's what I saw. Good. Okay.
And very anecdotally, having been to all the high school graduations, the number of lifers K through high school who are on the stage are ribboned and bowed because of accolades for sports, no, not sports, it's
sports accolades, for
clubs,
GPAs, for clubs,
like
for
the high achievers,
mm-hmm.
Most of the lifers were in that high achiever group, whether they were, you know, the top 1% on the stage or the ones who popped up from the seats, those who were lifers, and there were 20 of them,
There were quite a few.
There was. Yeah, which was. Yes. They were.
Continues to grow as well every year.
They were the high achievers in both our valid.
First year, we had six, I think. Remember the first graduation? Was it six or small number?
Yeah.
Very small number.
But that was 10% of our graduating class at the time.
Right.
So.
So just anecdotally, if the kids stay here, they do well and we do well for them. So.
And that's our whole point, right? That's what we strive to do as an institution, is make sure that we're providing the best quality education we can to every single one of our students. And with that, I think that ties it really nicely in a bow.
Yes.
Move on.
One more thing. How many of our graduates, high school accepted to a college, followed a college, or they didn't? Any idea which major just college did they choose? UDAL or something else?
So Delaware is definitely a popular choice.
It has to. It's the cheapest. It's very good.
It's the local. It's the local.
Very good.
I'm sure Ashley is going to text me with that data, and as soon as I have it, I will share it with you.
It's very interesting to see that, because what, last year was somebody was studied by Harvard University, or I'm wrong?
No, you were right. Absolutely.
So that's nice to see that. I know, I understand. I sent my daughter to UDAL, and she did great.
Me too. I'm a product of UDAL. You can tell me I'm great. It's okay. Excellent. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mel, out-of-state travel? Did we already approve the Georgia trip?
That actually was important. There are a couple out-of-state travels.
Yes, we have approved that. We approved those, but we have to hear again.
Just let me go through the motions, okay?
No, I appreciate it.
Yes.
All right, so our out-of-state travel for, we are sending participants to Boston, Massachusetts to complete a Harvard program. These are inclusive of our APs and our counselors and some of our principals. So we kindly request that they get approved, as well as Elia, Ioana, and Tina going to Greece, both from June 24th to 25th, as well as June 30th through July 1st and 2nd, to be working with the partnerships within universities and specifically with the Greek Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
Love the motion to approve the out-of-state travel?
Yeah.
All right, looking for a second. Costas, you got the second?
Yes.
Any discussion? Hearing none, calling for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. Motion so passed.
What are you going to do in Harvard? Go to School of, or?
So the program very similar to what Ioana was a part of, so I'll let you speak to it.
Yes, for us, it was for superintendents and leadership leaders.
Yes, School of Government of Harvard or something else.
School of Education.
Of Education, okay. And there's another school at Boston, because I said that to somebody. Boston University, they have somebody, probably you know here, Polyfronew, yes, something like this, and they have something great. I don't know if you're going to get together.
Yes, they do a summer program. No, yes,
by the way, I love this area between BU and Harvard and MIT, okay? Beautiful. It's that, yeah, they're beautiful.
I didn't add the travel to Harvard to a student. Not sure.
And we did, so our student?
Yes, student and our teacher.
Good.
So I'm going to add it right now. It's our student who have a student, one student every year for the summer program in Harvard.
Good.
So this year is Isha. Isha.
Sankar.
So again?
Sankar.
Sankar. And the teacher who's going with her is Casey Versace from high school. So the program starts June. So the ticket is 22nd, if I'm not mistaken, of June. They're coming back July 17.
17. Approval for that?
Yes.
Okay, what do you say, so?
That's okay. We're flexible.
That would be a nice.
But we don't get a student every year, correct? I mean, many schools compete for that one spot, right?
For us, it's one student from Odyssey.
Oh, nice.
It's only one from Odyssey.
Okay.
There is a competition for here. So this year we have five students, I think. An essay, a portfolio from Harvard, it's a very
So other schools are not considered, just us?
Not from the US, we are the only school.
Right.
The other schools have gone green, it's from Florida, and then now they have it also from and it's also very competitive for these students in Greece. But that student is the only American student.
That's great.
At Harvard?
No.
The Harvard summer program in Nafplio.
Oh, in Nafplio, okay. Very good, very good, very good.
Kalispera, everyone.
So motion to approve the addendum to the
Kalispera. Yes, yes. I have a couple notes. Thank you for the summaries of the reports. A couple things. I want to back up for a second because there were a few things that were said. There could be some misconceptions. I want to clear something up. First, to go back to the budget, we do not run a deficit budget since I've been at this school. It has never been a deficit budget. We are not in a deficit. We weren't in a deficit. We won't be in a deficit next year. I will remind the board that we were reapproved for the third consecutive year for S&P rating, investment grade rating. We would not earn that achievement if we were running a deficit budget ever. Number two, enrollment. We have never not hit our enrollment target. We do not have a shortage of enrollment. We have not had a shortage of enrollment. Our enrollment target last year was 2398. Our final number was 2402. This year, our enrollment target is 2500. It is only June 15th, and we're at 2492, which makes 99% of the enrollment target in June, not in September. These are unprecedentedly good numbers. It's a testament to the work that Jackie and the team has been doing. And I wanted to underscore that because I don't want to create any sort of fear when there isn't a fear. Things are exactly where they need to be. And the team is monitoring this very, very carefully. In terms of attrition, although I don't have the number in front of me, I can tell you the fifth grade attrition last year was 22%, and this year it is 18%. That would be a 4% improvement over 22, which is a 20% improvement from last year. So we've done, and I believe a lot of that has to do with the programs that we have in the step-up days and also the meetings that we specifically had with parents. I personally was in those meetings with the parents in the room that we're currently sitting in. And I fielded a lot of questions for these families. So to help them clarify both the programs that we have going into the middle school, what the high school programs look like thereafter, what our pathway is for micro-credentialing, moving into credentialing, going into the high school, and what the APs and honors courses would be thereafter and how many credits they would get in between. All of those things were done in a session right there in that room, and it was a very, very highly attended session. Who else was with me at that one? I know Ioana was there and Jackie was there. Yes. So wanted to let you know that these are things that we monitor consistently to make sure that we are trying to get the information out. I appreciate the feedback about there still being confusion. I'll make sure that the intermediate school understands that and they need to get that. Also, going back to what we said before, I think Ioana brought this up. In years past, we always waited for the SBAC scores to make decisions about honors programs. This year, we did it in March. And next year we'll do it right after we get the first semester grades in. So they'll have plenty of time to do it thereafter. But this year is already a 3 months improvement from where it was last year. And I do believe that has a lot to do with the reduction in the attrition rate, which if it holds where it is now, would go back to pre-COVID attrition rates for fifth to sixth grade. For high school, this is an unprecedented number. I expect it to go down. I don't think it'll hover around 60% or 57% or what it's at right now. That would be an unprecedented number for a charter school overall and for a school in Delaware that's a K-12. The typical number sits around 40%, between 30 and 40%. So this would be, what is that? If we stay at 60%, you're looking at a 50% above that number. So I would anticipate it'll probably land somewhere closer to 50%. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that the school is aligning to the needs of the family and making sure that we have that addressed, especially with respect to the sports program and the improvement that we've seen that. The Harvard program for the adults that are going is a data analysis program. It helps them to be able to be more responsive to data when they're making their decision making. That is the main crux of what they're doing. It is very different from the one that we went to. The superintendent one did not have the same focus. That was more about strategic leadership at the superintendent level. This is more about school turnaround and using data as a response. Those are my enhancements there to some of the things that we just talked about.
Yeah, that's nice, but still we'd like to know what is the reason some, besides family and friends, just leave the school and go somewhere else. That's very simple. If we can find out, that'd be nice. It helps.
Nothing. Yes, else, nothing we do find that out every year. We never go dark. I met with parents last week, specifically in the eighth grade, to find out why. And it is what was mentioned. Number one is our programs are used sometimes to get into other schools, and many families just want to try something else. That is the number one reason why people leave. They want to try something else. The number two reason that people leave is because they themselves are looking at a very specified program. So different pathways that they're looking for comparatively to the ones that we have, that it doesn't necessarily mean that there's a satisfaction issue that's coming up that's causing that. A lot of it is kind of a natural attrition. That's why I mentioned the rate of attrition of other schools that are in eighth grade before that, so that we understand that we do study this data a lot, and we do a pretty deep dive into it to make sure that we are outperforming those specific data components. We have not, I don't think I've received all of the information back, but typically what we do is we do have the middle school ask specifically why did they choose to go to another school. And so there, we don't have that data at this time, and all of the rest of the enrollment data won't be ready yet either, because we're enrolling on a daily basis. So we won't actually know the enrollment data until September 30th. Okay. That's what makes this challenging. It's a very challenging process. And I will say also that Odyssey's process for enrollment is probably the most robust enrollment process that's used in around. And we'd be happy to show just how many metrics we use, what our waterfall looks like, and what the spreadsheets are that we look like, because it's quite a robust system that we use that has now been used by other schools because of how good it's been at hitting its target within 1% for the last 4 years in a row.
That's fine, as long as you have some idea, even as a board, that this is the reason, that's the reason. Then this may help the program of the school just be different. I don't say say better, but different. That's all, nothing else, very simple. We do that in college. We get feedback and say why the about 10% left and went there because of that and this. Same thing.
Well, also, Elias, it's what you said. I think, what Ken said, that kids that have been at the school from K through 12 consistently have performed better at the end of their, of their high school year than other kids. So retention also has to do with academic achievement at the end of, and their senior graduation. So I think there's a lot of good reasons to, but yes, I mean, the numbers are wonderful. I hear you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Like the team said, this is the largest one we've ever had. And 9 out of the 10 top GPAs were lifers in this year's graduation. So all of that data aligns with the same notion. And that's all of the big initiatives of the school aligned to the same thing, which is obviously to try to keep as many of our students as we can. And we continue to increase the number of rigorous courses. We continue to respond to the information that we get from our students and our families about what they'd like our kids to be able to do. And that's why we have so many lifers that still stay with the school.
Yeah, and one more thing for me, I want to hear how many of the students who are accepted at the college got scholarships or just any help, whatever it is. Let's say it's very significant nowadays. The enrollment in the colleges is going down, and all the colleges are competing with each other, and they give a lot of scholarship help to attract and retain students. So if it is possible and we find out something like this, would be very nice, okay?
So this year we've had over $4 million in scholarships for graduates.
Good, so this went to the high school, the graduates?
Correct.
Good, that's, things are important, but I say the enrollment of colleges now is going down. Since 2021 is going down, and I can see colleges in the area. One retains the students and the other does not get more. So it's a lot of competition out there. So it's nice to know how are we doing with that. $4 million, that's great. Okay, so that,
yeah, it's, yeah, that, that's also a very high number. That's a very high number. And it's consistently gone up. The first year that I was here, it was about 1.5 to 1.6 million. Yeah. And now it's over 4 million. Obviously the graduating class is a little bit larger, but from a scale perspective, it still outperforms what we've been able to do in the past. So, and to Costa's point, that's precisely why I firmly believe that college needs to be an option for all students, is because the colleges are forced to be competitive now. And because they're competitive, they are giving better deals. And our team, including Amanda Lighty, which I have to give her a lot of credit. I don't know if she's on the call today. She's really, really, really good at helping kids understand how you can bargain with, sadly, yeah, with the universities, almost like you're buying a used car now. That's really what it's come down to. That's what the process looks like.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll never compete with a school like DMA because the offering is completely different.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to the military and you want to go to DMA, we're not going to keep you here. So but we need to do a better job. I don't mean to imply you're not doing a wonderful job, because we're doing a wonderful job selling ourselves, but highlighting just how successful the lifers are might play into your marketing plan something.
Yeah, I wanted to ask that. A lot of this data seems really new, and I know shared people want to support and how to create programs. Is that being shared with parents in meetings, like what their graduating class can be pulled on to those meetings, the goals that get marketed to parents or adults?
I love it.
The amount of scholarships. We should put it on the website, on the website.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it, it's good for all of us, but it's for the students. But if they don't know this information of it growing, right, and how do they make those decisions to say, hey, this place is up top?
Mm-hmm. Even that intrinsic, like that achievement aspect too, like knowing that the lifers, when they graduate, have the special rope, have the special ribbon, that is something that can only be achieved by staying here K through 12. You will not achieve that elsewhere if you leave after eighth grade.
We also go much further.
Well, achieve that if you leave after eighth grade and come back in 10th grade. So I think that's something that's really compelling to share, not just with the parents, but even with the students, make them excited.
Again, anecdotally, it gets the best applause at graduation.
It really does.
So, because you got more parental involvement for those lifers and the high achievers than anywhere else. And that's after involved kids, we need to involve parents. So they're our best assets.
And the only thing you need to do to be a lifer is come to school.
Okay. You need to achieve and do your work and learn.
Well, yes, you do need to earn your graduation too, of course. I think that went without saying, but
it's important to show up.
Yes, showing up is half the battle.
Elias, in what area are we doing better than Wilmington Charter, for example?
Well, I would say the number one area we're doing better is we are not screening students based on their current academic levels. So what we're doing better at is growing students. So if you look at the growth of a student that comes into our program versus the one that goes to Wilmington Charter, the growth of our students can exceed 100% many, many times. The growth of a Wilmington Charter student would rarely exceed 10 to 15%. Because if you're screening all the A students and bringing them into your school, you're not growing anything. You're just facilitating a college ready process that's already in place. That isn't actually learning at all. So I would say in that area is where we're the strongest. There's a big misconception about.
Whatever you say.
I'm sorry.
To say that. I have two children graduating from William Charter. Well, it's very competitive. The parents care about the students. You have to push each other to get to talk to the teacher. No, it's a great school. They had a different thing. They were given very hard A's. So somebody come from another high school with nothing, go to university administration. Oh, this has A, this has B. And that's the difference yes. that some of the
well, that's cool. Again, that's something that's easy to say when all of your class is literate.
It's a great school, no matter what.
I think each school starts with different challenges with the students, both the ones they accept, the ones they interview, the ones who test, and then once they're in there, students at charter schools do better than students who are in a regular public school. Just the rising tide raises all ships. All kids at charter schools do better than their peers at a public school. And the kids at Wilmington Charter, they've got a test, they've got interviews, that kind of thing. We have a lottery. We knew that going in. So we have a harder tide to rise, but our kids rise smoothly. And again, my kids went to charter too.
Hey, listen, the problem is that the charter school, they had to take an entrance exam. And they had to do things like this. Doesn't mean that when they graduate, they go and they say, no, I'm at college. They just say different things, make no difference. Some of them never attended college, I know, but most of them were successful. And something else, it's very selective, and they select students, the best of the students from the state. That's a big difference, okay? You don't accept everybody.
Yes, that's precisely what we're saying. We're saying that we don't use the same system. We accept all students based on lottery. We do not have these kind of screening mechanisms so you get the top 10% of every single graduating class. That's quite the difference. I would also add that if you want to talk about the CTE pathways, Odyssey's CTE pathways are far superior to charters, as is our okay. food studies pathway that can't be touched everywhere. I'm just answering the question that was asked of me. It was asked specifically, so I'm answering the question. With bona fide facts.
This line of discussion, because like, we love all the charter schools.
That's a different story. Okay.
So, and so we're not going to discuss anyone else right now, okay? Let's I mean that in a nice way. We love our school more.
We all agree on that.
Yeah. Our school, our school kids are much better than any other school kids.
That's true.
Because they're owls. And they poop on charge. No, I'm just kidding. Okay.
I do want to just say that we continue to use our own data to help us inform our decisions. And we are continuing to beat our own metrics, which is something that we can be proud about. And so we continue to enroll our students. We continue to show scholarship opportunities, giving them opportunities to go beyond the classroom after they graduate, regardless of when they leave. And so we are really appreciative and honored to have the opportunity to serve our students.
That's good.
Yep.
Nobody said no has objection, but two different things, okay?
Anything about Greek department? You want to talk about that? Okay. Moving on.
All right, I don't have too many things to say.
Okay.
There are many things happening in the Greek department right now, and it's more about new teachers coming here. So you know that the process is long from Greece, interviews, visas, HR. So we are in this process right now. This year we are getting 2 teachers from the Greek Ministry of Education, and I'm very proud of that.
Nice. What are you getting?
2 sure. teachers from the Greek Ministry of Education. So 2 teachers from Akos Pasmeni from Greece that are appointed to Odyssey. And one of them actually, it's a position that we asked for our immersion school. And the ministry opened the position for the first time for us because they really trust our program in the school. We're going to have the first art teacher from Greece.
Does Greece pay for them? The salaries?
Yes.
I would make sure about that. Because in the beginning it was like this.
Yeah, we don't like to call them free.
No. I don't care how we call it as long as somebody covers the salaries.
So let me clarify. They are not free. The Greek Ministry of Education pay their salary. So let me give you some information. They pay their salary, their regular salary, as they were in Greece.
Yes.
And they give them a stipend every month.
because of this change of the cost of life.
Living.
Yeah.
And we pay the rest.
Yes, that's fine. Okay.
So I'm going back to the art teacher. So I specifically asked for art because art is a lesson that we can use all the manipulatives. We can use a different code to keep speaking in Greek to students and make them understand using all the materials that we have for art.
That's
good. So I'm very hopeful for this program. And the other teacher, the second teacher who's coming is, there are a couple, so it's the gentleman and his wife, or the lady and her spouse, who are going to work for us for this year.
Good.
The other thing is we have a new principal in the immersion school. It's Miss Tina Iliadis. We are very happy with this new position for Tina. Tina has been with our school for many, many years, I think 14, if I'm not mistaken. She was the founding kindergarten teacher when we started immersion in 2017. And we're very proud of her. She will be with us in Athens, the trip that you approved. And we will introduce her to the schools that we will meet there, the universities, and you know, all the connections that we will have and partnerships that we will do in Greece.
Good.
Other than that, I don't think that I have something else. There are so many things happening. So curriculum, we need to translate the math curriculum because we are going to adopt a new curriculum, but these are more, you know, curriculum details that we work here. As a department, as the Greek department, because now we have the immersion K-5 moving to their own building, and as the first school, immersion Greek language school, not only in the United States, but everywhere in the world, it's the first public Greek language immersion school. And we need to take care of the other schools that they don't have the immersion anymore. So the intermediate school for all this year hosted half of the immersion elementary, and now they're going to be without the immersion program in their building. So with teachers, specific teachers who are going to teach there, the goal is to keep the Greek identity strong in the FLESH program as well. So we always keep this balance between the two programs, and we strive to take care of the both programs, because all our students are our students. And we have very strong achievements in the FLESH side of the program as well. And as I think Jackie said about the immersion building, we had our teachers going to the building, the immersion teachers going to the building yesterday and the day before. And I can tell you they were so happy, and not because of the building is new and all, it's not about the building, it's about their community. They wanted all this year to have a community where the program can really bloom. And the moment came, so when we started, when we had this vision 4 years ago about, some of you remember what we're going to do with 27. We had all discussions, and now the moment really came. We are here, and everybody is very, there is an enthusiasm in all the teachers who are going to teach in this building. They know that it's going to be hard at the beginning, new building, new administration, everything is new. Bridget, you know, you're there every day. But everybody is like a very united group of teachers, experienced or not experienced, who are helping each other, and they will continue helping each other to help our students. So I'm very proud of this new move. We are very proud of it.
So one question.
Questions
in general. When does the school begin? August 24th, after Labor Day, because back and forth.
So I think you approved already the calendar.
Yeah.
It was August
26th.
Yes, I know that the teachers first, I know the teachers Thursday.
Yeah.
17 for new teachers, 19 for all of us, for all the teachers, and 25 maybe, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think that.
The first day of school for all kindergarten, third, fourth grade class, sixth, OHA, ninth, and 12th graders is Wednesday, August 26th. And then the remaining group of students will all begin on Thursday, August 26th.
I hope some of the Greek teachers will change the ticket, coming back earlier, because some of them don't start.
Those are the first days of school for students. So okay. New teacher orientation for new staff members begins on August 17th, and then all staff are returning on August 19th with a.
So I ask you, honor to be lenient, some of them miss one day because of fatigue issues, okay, that's all.
They know the calendar, you know.
Yeah, hope so.
With students moving around and stuff, some of the questions I've heard from parents are about band, and will band still be offered for all the different students?
So the answer is yes.
Okay.
We'll have a band teacher also serving our immersion students in building 27.
Okay, because parents will be sharing about.
I'm sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Parks.
I heard Mr. Parks.
It's going to be beautiful in our square.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Citizens Budget Oversight Committee, I don't see Evan. That's okay. Finance Committee, we already talked. PTO report?
Any idea?
They're doing well? Good, okay, good enough.
Okay.
New business, I did mention public comments. I got a note from a teacher who had a question regarding representation on the board. Specifically, I'll paraphrase here loosely because it wasn't actually submitted as a opening remark. But there are those who believe the representative position should be directly accountable to those they represent, accessible to those they represent, and reflective of the concerns and perspective of those they represent, whether it's teacher, family, at large. For that reason, they wanted to know why weren't the people being represented able to directly vote for the individuals that will serve as their representative? And my understanding has always been, as an AHEP appointee, I am selected by the AHEP appointee committee.
Yes.
Based on what I'm bringing to the board.
Yes.
And what I'm bringing to the school, because the mission of the board and the school is to do the best we can for the students. So the committee looks at those who have applied, decides what they're bringing to the table, and what that will offer to the board and this, and subsequently the school, and most importantly, the students. I am not directed by the AHEP or anyone else to vote in any particular way on any object, on any decision, anything that comes before us. That decision is solely mine, and it's based on my perspective from where I come from, what I'm bringing to the board. And my goal should always be what's best for the students, what's best for the kids. So that's how I want to generally answer that. But to be more specific, I'd like to bring Kendall from the Charter School Network to provide some color commentary, because it's often a question about the AHEP, non-AHEP family, and all the other representatives on the board.
And the training that I received was that the voice we bring forward is not a collective voice. It's my personal voice as shaped by my role in the school. So, and I'm not supposed to advocate for every little thing that is discussed in the staff lounge, you know, those are most of the time administrative issues, sometimes union issues. So we are overseeing the governance of the school, not every year.
But because the question came up, I thought I'd ask a trained professional to provide the holistic Delaware Charter School approach to, so you're on the board.
So for the record, I'm Kendall Massett. I'm the executive director for the Delaware Charter Schools Network. A couple of things. First off, I have to say this for the record because you said it, and it's not like all charter schools use lotteries and all charter schools follow the law, period, end of story. We do not test kids into schools, period, end of story. We all follow the law, okay? I'm in the room, I need to say it because I'm in the room. All right, governance. When you join a board, you are there for exactly what Ken said, to make sure that the students are getting what you promised. You get a charter with a mission. You are required to make sure that that mission is put forward. If they're not getting the mission, then one, you lose your charter, and two, parents leave, right? But the reason why we suggest, both our lawyer, the network's lawyer, and I believe, and he was at our governance training, that you don't vote is because you vote on those people, like that they to represent them, is because they don't. They come with that hat, right? Our law requires that you have a parent of a student in the school and a teacher that works in the school. Not because they're going to be the person that gathers all the problems and the worries and brings it, but so that they can sit at the board at this level, ask the questions, great questions, by the way, the questions that you're asking with that hat on. As a parent, now you can, both of you, you heard, you hear things, and that's good, right? That does inform your thoughts and what you're doing here. But you're not sitting around on the at the bus stop saying, hey, what's going on in school? What do you want us to talk about? In fact, in your training, we told you, don't do that. That's not, that's your duty is to the board and to the school as a whole. But you bring a unique perspective. Your teachers bring a unique perspective. How will the policy that you're voting on, whatever it is that you're voting on, affect teachers? How will it affect parents? You have to, like, if you decided, you know what, we're going to change all the uniforms across this across the school, and you decide that at your August board meeting, and you're doing it for September, the parents on the board are going to go, oh, wait a minute, like, I've got to go, do you understand that we as parents have to now go buy all of these things? Right? That's the right thing. But you're not here to take a to have people send in issues that you come and you read all their issues off. That's not your role. That's why we don't suggest that you have votes in and voted in and be elected in. Because then people think that you're electing them in and that you have to hear their perspective. To be clear, you should be very nice people and you should listen to all your people. But you are your own person, right?
Yeah.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's clear.
Very clear.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And that dovetails right into our new members.
Yes. Give a speech.
Would you like me to go first?
Yes, please.
Okay, so the NANAHIPAA nominating committee met. We posted Eva's Greek teacher representative position. We received 6 applicants and conducted all 6 interviews. We came to a consensus that we'll move forward with presenting Olexeni to the board to fulfill Eva's position, which begins in July.
She's a new member.
Yes.
Okay, that's why it's hard to get.
Thank you for this opportunity. I feel very honored to be considered, and I will do my best serving my perspective. As you said very correctly, and I couldn't agree more. And do my best for the school community of Odyssey Charter School. I have been working in 5 years. It's my 6th year now here, and overall, I have been teaching for 34 years, so I think that I know the curriculum, I can hear the students' needs, and I'm more than willing to serve my school from this, let's say, perspective now, from a different position. I'm really happy. Thank you for welcoming me here, and I promise to do my best.
Good. That's all we can ever ask.
And
thank
you. This is my last one. Can I say my two things? I'm also honored because I survived for 6 years. I served for 6 years on this board. I was the first of my kind. And I think when I'm going to look back, I'm going to look back with pride, because for those who have served as long, we inherited a school that was on probation with 2 formal reviews. And as we started to address those issues to repair, the pandemic hit us. And then we had to address that one. And then in the midst of all this, we had to hire a new head of school, right? Remember?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. With that one, we got lucky because we found the one in a million that he could not only understand and embrace our mission and vision, but from his interviews, he was passionate and he still carries this passion. But it hasn't been easy. And we worked together collaboratively. We didn't always agree, but we disagreed with respect. And I think we managed to restore the school's reputation. So that's why I'm going to look back with pride. And because I managed to, you know, maintain relationships while I also had to say, you know, I'm not going to advocate every single thing. You know, I have to bring my point of view forward as far as the governance, not the other issues. And I advise you do the same. You just trust your instinct and your integrity and you move forward with that. And if you need the shoulder to cry and get. Or to laugh, you know.
What you tell me, mainly you represent the Greek section of the Greek section, like
yes.
Yeah, like, yes. Greek. Yep.
Okay. One question for me. What was the last school in Greece you taught?
The last school I taught.
The last, I don't want the beginning, the last.
The last technical vocational school in Tel Aviv.
Salamina?
In Tel Aviv, yes. Wow, small word. In the high school, it was a really, really challenging school because I have to tell you the school before that to draw the comparison. The other school, the previous school was one little school, a middle school and high school in Kimolos, a very small island in Greece. And I had only 24 kids overall. Yes. Middle school and high school. Wow. And then I was transferred to a school having 600 kids coming from very from different let's say social classes and very challenging let's say family backgrounds. So this is
I know Salam.
Let's say comparison.
I know Salam. I mean, I had a summer house there. I sold it, and I'm so happy about it.
Before I let you take the floor, mm-hmm. I also just wanted to say we also have three members up for renewal tonight.
Okay.
Being Joel, Georgia, and myself.
Okay. All three of you are up.
Mm-hmm. We'll start at the same time.
Wow, it means we lose all three of you at the same time.
Mm-hmm. So do we all vote to renew them or we just agree to renew them?
I think we vote.
We have to vote to renew them?
We'll vote. So, we'll vote and pick everybody on at once.
Okay.
So we have a nominating committee that had hundreds of applications. And we narrowed it down and interviewed many of them. So the we're losing Val, myself, and we also lost Dimitri.
Dimitri, yeah.
So first is Vivian Janikakis. You know, I really should have just spelled it. I should have spelled it phonetically. I'm Polish. Where's the Z? Where's the Y? There's no W.
It's changing in like 3 months.
So Vivian is a recent relocatee from New York back to Delaware, or to Delaware. She is a acting chiropractor. And that is sadly all I can remember about the wonderfulness that is you, other than all of our candidates are wonderfully enthusiastic to join the board. You're welcome to say something if you'd like.
So I say I'm definitely honored and considering joining the board. You know, coming from a different perspective as, you know, practitioner as well, and just hearing what was said, you know, I always tell patients, I'm not here to just give you what you want, but what you need. So just coming with that perspective, seeing that you guys have set such a strong precedent foundation, honored to be on it to hold that foundation and grow it more.
Thank you.
And good. Hold on to those perspectives.
And also joining us will be Tricia Fitzharris, who ran her own successful food safety company and worked with our school years ago as well. And sadly, that's all I can think of.
I'm actually born and raised in Delaware. I'm from public schools, so University of Delaware, and I work in Chapel. And I'm really excited. I love the family commitment. I did spend 30 years in the public education system for food safety with visitors, primarily in the Mid-Atlantic, but really on a national basis. And so it is unique and fun to watch an Odyssey drill. In the time I was working with them, as well as I'm now Master Gardener for the University of Delaware, so that kind of stuff is some really cool stuff you guys are doing, and I'm very excited about. So it's kind of fun to have a couple areas converge that guys are really excelling, but I'm kind of like, the opposite.
And then finally is Ian Chambers, who will be filling out the, completing the rest of Dimitri's term. He is a, no, he's a biologist, but it's really specific biology. Neurobiology, yes. He's actually up in Jersey right now, but he has strong ties to the school. His father was George Chambers, one of our founders. So he's.
And first president.
And first president, and.
He wrote the charter.
Filled out the actual first charter application. So we're pretty fortunate to have him, and he's willing to attend and come down for meetings as needed. The distance will not be a problem. So, and eventually we'll get him to move back to Delaware. So he's getting a charter.
Sooner than you think. I have two young kids. My daughter is turning 4 this summer. My son will be turning 1.5 years. Yeah, I guess it's a little cliche, but it does run in the family. It's something that's dear and close to my heart. I remember the many, 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 many hours, especially as a kid, when this school came together, and it's, I can't help but get a little bit of goosebumps looking down at also Tony Scutella, oh, yeah. Who is the godfather of my sister, and their family, you know, are extremely close to us as well. And yeah, it means a lot to be involved with the school again. I obviously have significant background in academia. I completed a PhD, postdoctoral education, and I now I'm in industry, but I do neuroscience research. I'm very familiar with education. I also volunteered with HEPA for many years, particularly in the DC region, and helped lead their scholarship programs and several initiatives. So I'm very excited and happy to contribute, and I want to see the school do very well for a long time.
So is everybody related in Delaware? His grandfather was my son's godfather.
Sure.
Goes all around.
Also, Delaware way.
Oh, yes. I remember you since you were a kid.
Okay? I know. But yeah, and I do live in Jersey currently, but there are plans to relocate in the near future.
So I would like a motion from, I guess, the two committees. So would you mind offering the motion for the non-HEPA committee?
Sure.
And I will do so for the HEPA committee.
Yeah.
Can we do that?
Why not?
No, the non-HEPAs have to nominate.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she did the non-HEPA. I did the HEPA.
Oh, okay. I thought you asked the HEPA.
No.
No, that would be awkward.
She cannot nominate herself.
No, she's not. Oh, yeah.
I'll nominate.
Oh, yeah, you'll not. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
So.
We're human.
I nominate that we welcome Polixeni, and we renew Joel, Georgia, and Bridget for another term.
Second.
I will second.
From that side of the room, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Yep.
Hearing none, motion passed. Welcome aboard. Good luck. And from the Greek committee, I put forth our slate of volunteers, for which I appreciate your stepping up. So I'm looking for second.
Second it.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Can she second?
Oh, you can. And you have a second.
Absolutely.
At least I looked the right direction. All right.
It's okay with me anyway.
So do we have any discussion? No. All those in favor?
Yeah.
Aye.
Hi.
Any opposed? Thank you. That was Dimitri. All right, hearing none. The new slate is welcome aboard. Thank you for your service, all four of you. Look forward to it.
Do we have something else to vote on?
Yes, now we have the executive committee.
Oh.
Yeah. So I would like to nominate Georgia Halakis as board chair for the next year.
So I need to write down.
Don't we have
No, we're continuing on with this first. We've already started.
Halakis. Oh, yes. you mean?
Colias.
Colias, not Calabrias.
I don't have the right glasses.
Resigned.
That's okay.
I would like to nominate George as president for next year.
Yeah, both Georges, but.
So we need a second.
A second.
There we go. Any discussion?
No.
All right, we'll move on to the vice president. Anyone? No? All right, I'll nominate Dimitri Dandelis for vice president. Hold that thought. George, did you accept?
Yes, of course.
Okay, good.
I'm honored.
Dimitri, are you wanted? Can you accept?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. And I already got the second from Costas. For treasurer, I'd like to nominate Costas. I need a second. That isn't Costas. Thank you.
Okay.
Any discussion? Okay. And then for Secretary Bridget, if you wouldn't mind.
Mm-hmm.
And a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none. All right, I move that we accept the slate for executive committee as everybody's nominated. Any discussion?
Second.
Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, so passed. Welcome. The next meeting will be all yours.
Who just seconded that?
Monica seconded you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and do we have something else on the agenda?
In Elias and this.
Oh, yes.
I think we can push that to the top of the discussion then.
Okay.
Okay.
Just for everybody on the crew, there was a point from Elias and the executive leadership team about some of the requirements for high school graduation and college scholarships and preparatory and application and stuff. We need to dig into it a little bit more on the project. So we'll table that till next month. That becomes not my problem.
I recommend we support you.
I recommend, yes, as lame ducks, I do recommend it. Because I think it's a fabulous idea.
You guys vote for it, please.
It's just our suggestion. Please check your hat and do what's right. For the good of the school, anyone?
I have something.
May I just say something quickly? This is Valerie.
Yeah, oh, Valerie, thank you.
I'll be brief. I just wanted to thank everybody for, you know, the opportunity to serve on the board for 6 years. Like Eva, it's been a tremendous opportunity. And I truly admire everybody who's contributed their time and talents to the school, the administrators, the teachers, fellow board members. I mean, it's truly been, you know, a highlight for me personally to contribute back to the great community that's given me so much over the years. So I'm grateful to be forever part of the Odyssey family. It's been wonderful getting to know everybody over the past 6 years, and I wish the school much success. It's certainly in very good hands. So thank you all very much.
Thank you, Val.
Thank you,
Valerie. I have something I'd like to say. I was contacted by the president of a group of academics in Greece. It's called IHA, International Hellenic Association, and it's a group actually mostly of retired university professors and other you know, theoreticians and academics, and they wanted some other issues that they wanted me to help them with, but they were very interested in hearing a presentation about the Odyssey Charter School, and on Zoom, because they're not located here. And they asked me, and I thought, it's Ioana, you would be perfect to present the school to them, or Elias. They need a presentation in Greek. I'm pretty sure about that. Their English was not so good. I think it's a good opportunity. They are very well connected. And actually, the president, they're located in Greece, the president of the organization is the brother of George Rigos,
yes,
who was one of the founding fathers of Odyssey Charter School.
Evangelos Rigos is his name.
That's correct.
Yes.
I can connect you. I will write him back and give him your information.
And we will do it in person because I'm going to Greece next year, the next week. So we can.
They're working on some fantastic projects, actually, to bring more populations and opportunities to rural area. So when you said Kimolis, I thought this is great. That's the kind of projects that they're successfully working on, and I think it's a very interesting. It's a very interesting group of people, and they're working on another project to make sure that Amazon Kindle renews the Greek language on Amazon, which
said yes. Amazon said yes.
Yes, so that was another successful project they worked on. So they're, you know, they're spunky and very smart.
The other project was just to retranslate Homer, Iliad, and Odyssey to English. However, the gazillion just translations are very nice. So these two epics, which were read, especially Odyssey, more than the Bible. Okay. Mm-hmm. Make myself clear. I don't know what happened to that, but I took myself out because I say it's nothing different than whatever, just an English guy or American or Russian just did. Anyways.
All right. And I would just like to say thank you. It's been an honor working with you guys for the last, well, some of you for the last 6 years, but everybody for as long as I have.
So stop by sometimes for coffee.
I will. Yeah. I will probably not leave. As I tell everybody, my daughter was the first one to sign up, so I'm sadly not going anywhere. So.
You got a kindergarten graduation next.
What are you kindergarten doing? Graduations are the best.
When your daughter graduates,
she left in fifth grade because we didn't have a sixth.
I see.
So she was ahead of the curve.
Oh, I see. Oh, it was that time. I
still mumbles at me in Greek, so it's okay. So I won't tear up. I just want to say thank you for all the hard work everybody's done in making this school the best we can. And Eva,
yeah,
we absolutely are leaving the place better than we found it. So, and it was pretty good to start with.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but look how far we have
come. Yes. And we really only have one hire. We only have one person we hire, and that's Elias. And I think we did pretty good with
him. We were very lucky.
So he's definitely been a huge part of the last 6 years of Odyssey. So.
He's
gone. Don't know. So, okay, I'm saying it for the public, not for his ears. So, Matt. So.
He smiled.
What's that says?
All right. So.
I'm here. He must think of the only message. Είμαστε και 2:30 μεσάνυχτα εδώ, να θυμόσαστε.
Enjoy the ozo.
For those who don't speak Greek, he was saying, can you get more ozo? And I ordered fries.
Enjoy that.
We do have no executive session. I think we're all just done.
Yeah.
It's 7:30. Yeah. Motion to adjourn. Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you very much.